With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you here on Herb Talk. Thanks for being here on American Voice Radio. We're so glad that you've joined us, and we are going to talk about how we can maximize our time and be healthier on that end, you know, because we waste a lot of time out there. And so I'm going to try to help you maximize some of that wasted time, and you'll be healthier for it. Also, we're going to be talking about, if we want to stop smoking, how we can make that process a little bit easier and we can be successful at, you know, ditching the smoking habit. Also, if we get time, we're going to talk about sepsis a little bit, because there's a lot of people out there that have sepsis, don't even know they have it. And also, We'll see how the owl rolls. We may even start to quantify your work area, your occupation, and see how toxic it is to you. And what you can do about that. And we have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. We're praying for their protection every day, God's hand of protection be on them, and all of America. We need to humble ourselves and seek the Lord's face and repent as a nation so that it would be God's will to, you know, heal our country, all right? Because I think we need a healing here. We got too many people lying and cheating and stealing and carrying on, and we need to stop this nonsense. So mind the time, folks. Seek the Lord's face. The time grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. You know, I have the best engineer in the world. That's Frank. You guys know him as Frank. We appreciate you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about bacteria found in the public water supply. Yep. University of Michigan said that most bacteria found in your drinking water actually comes from the filters of the water treatment plants. Uh-oh. Yeah. Most of the bacteria in water coming out of your tap didn't come from the aquifers or the river where it originated, but it came from the filters that the treatment plant designed to remove the bacteria. Oh, yeah, this is a study published online at the Environmental Science and Technology. The study spanned 6 months. Oh, yeah, Ann Arbor, Michigan. They tested water like no other. Researchers noted that tap water is loaded with bacteria despite intensive filtering and disinfection processes from the source of the water to your sink. Ahmet Pinto, a professor at the University of Glasgow, he said, but there's a good bit of scientific literature that says that there are good bacteria, innocuous bacteria, and then there's bad bacteria. So if we can better understand the types of bacteria in the microbial community from the source of the water to your tap and what processes can control it, perhaps, he says, we can be more effective at controlling which ones of the bacteria get through. So thought that was interesting. Researchers found that the activated carbon filters most common in your filtration processes are dominant in determining which bacteria become most prevalent in your tap water. Okay. I thought those charcoal filters were awesome. They're supposed to get everything. I was wrong. Okay, we're going to talk about mushrooms. Yeah, you guys like mushrooms out there? I know some people like them on their pizza, but little-known mushroom, a powerful defense against cancer they found, relatively unheard of mushroom, the chaga mushroom, I guess I'm pronouncing that right, chaga, has been used in folk medicine for generations, and now researchers say that it is extremely effective at protecting your cellular DNA from free radicals and has also got some anti-tumor and immune-stimulating benefits. Kind of sounds like the dandelion root we talked about. Remember, dandelion root kills all kinds of cancer, not just leukemia, all cancer. It's awesome. You're going to find that dandelion root in your liver detox tea over at the powerherbs.com website. Also, the chaga mushroom, it's pretty much a fungus, grows on your birch tree or other hardwood trees. It kind of resembles porous wood. It's kind of black and hard, like lumpy charcoal. So natives of China, Siberia, Finland, Japan, Poland, and North America have all recognized this mushroom's importance down through the centuries. So how do you use it? Well, if you're going to use it in a tea, you can drink it or you can apply it to your skin. If you're going to use it powdered, they say you can even inhale it as a smoke. I don't know if I'd do that. If you use a traditional tea, they say 1 teaspoon of the mushroom, usually dehydrated mushroom, in a cup of water. If you're going to use it in an alcohol extract, otherwise known as a tincture, they recommend a ratio of 5 to 1. In other words, 1 part mushroom, 5 parts alcohol, and use about 40 to 60 drops 3 times a day. You know that ratio is going to be really weak. I'm sorry. All right, let's see. What else we have here? Tattoo. Anybody out there getting tattoos? Well, listen up. At least 14 cases of skin infections have appeared in New York within the last year. Others were found in Washington, D.C., Colorado, and Iowa. They traced it back to, they think, the original source. They thought it was the tattoo ink, but it's really contaminated water. Apparently, some of these tattoo parlors will water down the ink by adding water to it. And what happens is then you get diagnosed with a case of Mycobacterium chelonate bacteria, which is, from the, contaminated water. If you leave it untreated, you can have various symptoms like lung disease, ocular disease, your vision, and joint infections. Secondary infections can also spread throughout the body. Tattoo parlors may provide you ointments for infection, but they are relatively useless against this bacteria. Treatment and recovery takes 6 months. Initial diagnosis is often very difficult to pinpoint. So getting a tattoo, always various risks involved. Make sure that your artist uses a new needle, sterilized needle. They wear surgical gloves, and they haven't tampered with the ink. What's up next in the Quack Report? Olive oil. I love olive oil. But, hey, you got to be careful about getting the real deal. Extra virgin olive oil. Noted for, recent years of studies that it helps lower heart disease risks. It's, good for your cholesterol and among other things. Unfortunately, a lot of the olive oil out there sold in your stores, not actually olive oil. Yeah, they're a deceptive blend of inferior oils. It may include traces of olive oil in it, but it's not really all olive oil. 50% or more of the olive oil sold commercially in the U.S. does not pass the stringent testing standards used to qualify it as authentic, real olive oil. A lot of it's non-certified olive oil. It'll be a blend of rapeseed or canola oil, soybean oil, maybe have some flavorings and chemicals in it, colors added to give you the illusion of real olive oil. And these oils are nothing but frauds. That's right. So crazy as it sounds, the olive oil piracy is one of the Italy's most lucrative enterprises. Greatly diluted olive oil out there. Authentic olive oil typically has a vibrant green color, but not always, but usually, is often stored in your amber glass bottles to protect its flavor and quality. Its vibrant peppery taste. And once you open the bottle and you expose it to oxygen, it will, it'll go rancid pretty fast, usually. So you got to use your olive oil up every day. Use your olive oil. Let's see, some tests conducted by researchers from the University of California and the Australian Oils Research Laboratory in 2010. Guess what? They found many major olive oil brands didn't pass the muster. They didn't pass the authentic tests for olive oil. Your brands would be Bertolli, Mazzola, Pomeranian, Caprelli, Filippo Berio, and others. So how can you tell if your olive oil is the real McCoy? Well, you got to look at it. You got to taste it. You got to smell it, of course. It's got to be peppery. It's got to be green in color. But you also look for the IOC label. That means it's International Olive Oil Council approved. It's authentic. It's real. 100% olive oil. You can observe, of course, like I said, the texture, the appearance. And you know what? When you refrigerate real olive oil, it gets a bit thicker, okay, than if you just left it alone on your counter. So you can put it in the fridge and see if it thickens up. Also, check to see if your olive oil is flammable, because real olive oil you can put in an oil lamp and use it as a fuel source. So if it doesn't light, I guess it's not the real deal. Let's see, last but not least in the Quack Report, bentonite clay, they say, removes toxic heavy metals, clears diaper rash, and stops stinky feet. That's right. Bentonite clay, very strong negative ionic charge. And this negative ionic charge will attract things that have a positive charge, like heavy metals, toxins, harmful bacteria, pesticides. pharmaceutical residues, and other pathogens. So bentonite clay does not attach to anything beneficial in your body. So it clumps up action. It kind of draws in the heavy metals and all those pathogens, and it clumps it up, and it keeps it from going into your bloodstream. And then you kind of pass it out, you know, the normal evacuation route. Bentonite clay can help alleviate rashes, eczema, food allergies, food poisoning, colitis, viral infections, and parasites. So digestive conditions that you may have, also going to help with that, weight loss. I've heard, you know, a lot of people say they lose a lot of weight when they use the bentonite clay. And it protects the body from radiation, because the bentonite clay remineralizes your cells and tissues and alkalizes your body. So, Fukushima, think bentonite clay. Also, every 6 months or so, you can remove toxins and metals through the GI tract using your clay. It can remove radioactive uranium, cesium, and plutonium. Hey, if you're looking for some real authentic bentonite clay, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. It's in their bowel cleanser. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Yep, world's best radio show engineer. That's who he is. Okay, we're going to talk about being more efficient with our time. And while we're being more efficient with our time, we're also going to be healthier. Okay, so we're going to get two birds, one stone with this one. In 1980, Willie Nelson, he had his country music hit, On the Road Again. Remember that song, On the Road Again? Over 76% of the United States population drives to work. That's over 120 million people on the road again each day. About 5% use public transportation, and 3% walk to work each day, and the rest, they work from home or they're unemployed. So depending on what major city you live in, the commute time is going to vary. Now, according to the U.S. Census Bureau 2009 survey, which was released September 2011, the average American worker will spend about 22 to 25 minutes going and coming from work each day. Now, if you live in New York, New Jersey, California, or D.C., or other congested U.S. cities, you can expect a much longer commute time of nearly 90 minutes. So the folks in Canada, they spend about 75 minutes getting to work. And incidentally, the U.S. cities that have the shortest commute time, or fewer than 5 minutes, are Raleigh, North Carolina, Birmingham, Alabama, and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Now, on average, the folks that use public transportation are going to spend nearly twice as long getting to work. So we spend a lot of time commuting, waiting for public transportation, yelling at drivers and other passengers. And you know what? Perhaps we can make better use of this time and be smarter and healthier. Let's try to do that. We're going to go through the motions here and see if we can accomplish that. You know, because the 20th century was supposed to be more efficient. That's right. In the 1950s, author Frank Gilbreth, he wrote a book, Cheaper by the Dozen, where readers were introduced to the concept of 20th century America. Yeah, 20th century America was all about saving time. That was the theme. And today, you know, today we design algorithms to show us how we can spend, less time cleaning the house and more time doing something else. And by the way, the average married female, over the course of her life, spends almost 6 years cleaning the house. So as we become more modern, are we more efficient? Well, according to British researchers, over the course of our lives, we spend 13 weeks sunbathing, over 27 days waiting for public transportation, 20 weeks on hold, and 60 hours of that time is listening to on-hold music, 11 years watching TV, 5 months complaining, and 5 years surfing the internet. And lately, I hear a lot of people, even teenagers, saying they don't have enough time to get things done. It's as if, you know, time has speeded up. Well, according to astrophysicists Paul Butterworth and David Palmer of the Goddard Space Flight Center, the Earth rotates over 1,000 miles per hour at the equator and travels around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. Wow. You know, as a kid, I thought the merry-go-round at school spun too fast. Well, our lives are full of patterns, habits, and going in circles. So the important thing is that you don't want to be spinning your wheels and wasting precious time. Okay, let's do we understand more, do you think, as a society now, or do you think we understand less based on, you know, a generation or two ago? Well, nowhere in history has the human race experienced a boom in knowledge as we have today. It is estimated that with the creation of the internet, we are doubling our knowledge every 5 years. However, as intelligent humans, do we understand less in the age of knowledge? I got to ask the question. Are we really smarter, or do we just have more efficient ways to do foolish things? Hey, you know what? The Bible answers that question for us. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You know, as the Bible states, knowledge is going to be increased, but it doesn't mean that truth will be increased. And if we go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." That's scary talk right there, you know? So lack of knowledge, rejected knowledge, that's what our Creator's saying. Yeah. Well, you know, based on the Bible, which, you know, I believe is truth, you know, Adam was the smartest man, and Solomon was the wisest man, and you know what they did? They eventually rejected knowledge. That's what they did. And let's face it, humans have much to learn. We do. Let's talk about health being a little bit simpler, because if you want to be healthy, you have to get back to some of the basics. And it's all spelled out in the Bible how we can live healthier lives. You know, unfortunately, most folks are biblically illiterate, and, you know, they prefer to spend 11 years worshiping American Idol than spending 5 minutes reading the Word of God. So if you have a teachable spirit, you're going to want to learn, you're going to want to know what God has to say about everything. So if you want to be rich in knowledge that surpasses all understanding, read Scripture, and in there, you're also going to learn how to be healthier. Now, if you go to Psalms 104:14, I've mentioned this many times, God says he's caused the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man. Now, if you can't believe God's word, I don't know what you can believe. A lie? Yeah. Well, you know, let's not reject knowledge. You know, it's here for our benefit. Now, hey, my herb book, The Power Herbs, 13 Herbs Every Medicine Cabinet Should Have, you know, it went through 2 printings, and it's now out of print. Now, when it was published in 2001, it sold for about $20. Used copies on Amazon right now of this book sell between $85 and $1,000. That was an eye-opener to me. People want knowledge. Now, ever so often I'm asked if I sell information on how to be healthier on CDs. You know, I don't sell CDs. And I wish I had the time to deal with producing them. You know, time has sped up and I don't have extra time. Now, my time is actually spent making herb tinctures and cleanses and products for you, producing radio shows, and talking with folks like you on a daily basis on how to be healthier. So perhaps there's a company out there that could, you know, handle that aspect of producing herb CDs for me. But until then, you can burn your own CD of my radio show, Herb Talk Live, for free. You just go to thepowerherbs.com and you click on Radio Archives. You select the show you want by topic and you download the show to your flash drive or you burn it on your CD. Guess what? Take the show with you in the car and turn your commute into an herb class. Why would you want to listen to drive time babble when you can learn how getting more natural zinc will improve your libido and what foods and herbs have natural zinc? Or how about how you can supply your body with plant-based calcium for stronger bones and forget about the milk mustache? And, of course, you can still purchase the Power Herbs book. It's in a PDF format. It's on my website, thepowerherbs.com. You just go under books, and it's just $14.99. Don't forget to sign up for even more free health information with my online newsletters. You can sign up online at thepowerherbs.com under newsletters, and they're right there. They're free. And HealthQuest is one of the newsletters, and the other one is the American Survival. Now, your newsletter subscription will also provide you with various discounts towards Apothecary Herbs products. So right now, HealthQuest newsletter subscribers receive 15% off on the product, on any product, and free U.S. domestic ground ship. And if you don't have Internet, if you don't do the Internet, just call the folks at Apothecary Herbs on their toll-free line and get a free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277 or thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, time is running out on how you can receive a free copy of the Power Herbs ebook when you purchase a pandemic or power herb kit. So that special ends August 31st. So take advantage of that special deal and get right over there and get you a free copy of the Power Herbs. 400 pages? I mean, people want it. It's $1,000 on Amazon. You can get it free. Get it free. All right. Hey, and by the way, if you're interested in a pandemic kit, here's some news for you on the pandemic kit. If you haven't gotten your pandemic kit yet, here's what folks are saying about my 100% organic pandemic kit. It's made at Apothecary Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. This is a quote feedback from Dr. Rebecca Carley, who has one of these kits. She says, I have this kit, and I recommend everyone have at least one on hand or more, depending on your family size, for a pandemic. That's Dr. Rebecca Carley. You've heard her. She's been on the show before. And then, of course, Melanie Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver, she's got a kit. She says, I have one and glad I do, just in case. I like the long shelf life. Melanie Cederstrom, you can click on her link. She's under the links area at thepowerherbs.com. But she's got a kit, and I believe you should get one too. Check it out and get a free Power Herbs ebook. While you get one, you'll be covered for the pandemic, and you have an ebook as well. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way. And our way is on the road again. I just can't wait to get on.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the prostate kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the prostate kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. So glad you're joining us here on American Voice Radio, Herb Talk Live. And I got to remind you folks that coming up on the 18th, Dr. Rebecca Carley will be with us. Of course, you can click on her link at thepowerherbs.com under links and get on over to her website. And, of course, she'll be empowering us with vaccine information next time. So always the vaccine specialist, that's what she is. Okay, so we're going to talk about smoking. Are you a smoker? Do you want to quit smoking? Do you know somebody that needs to quit smoking? Well, we're going to cover that. Actually, have you ever wondered how tobacco got established in American culture or even all over the world? Now, how could a substance proven so dangerous to human health become almost a staple in American households? Now, did it stem from, I don't know, the Indian chief's peace pipe, pass it around? Did the ancient Mayans influence the explorers to use tobacco as, I don't know, a hallucinogen? Actually, that was it. It was the Mayan tradition after an evening meal to smoke tobacco in a pipe. The lower Mayan classes rolled tobacco leaves into a cigar fashion, and then they smoked it. So the Mayan term for smoking was sikar, and it was S-I-K-A-R, but it kind of got translated to cigar, S-I-G-A-R. So later in Central America, Latin America, a system was established around tobacco with politics and religion and the whole nine yards. There was also ancient use of tobacco in Africa and the Near East. So history does not really record any habitual use of tobaccos on the continent except for the Americas. So Columbus was introduced to smoking from the Caribbean Arawak and Taino Indians. And on Columbus's second voyage to America, he brought along this monk, Raymond Payne, who took notice of how the Indians smoked tobacco in this Y-shaped pipe and used even tobacco as a snuff. So Payne was instrumental in introducing the use of smoking tobacco to Europe. So who made sure the United States of America adapted smoking, and how did they convince people to use it? You know, it's a good thing. Use it, smoke it, you know, you'll love it. Well, Dan Quayle, he once said, you remember Dan Quayle? Yeah. He said, tobacco exports should be expanded aggressively because Americans are smoking less. End of quote. Right, Dan? Well, let's go back to 1585 for a minute. A very good year. How do you get people to burn some smelly leaves, breathe it in real deep, cough, fill their lungs with smoke, and say it's a good thing? Well, you promote it as being something healthy for you. That's how. That is exactly what Raleigh's men did when they landed on Roanoke Island in 1585, looking specifically for indigenous herbs to sell to the apothecary shops and physicians back home in Europe. Now, the promotional benefits of Raleigh's men, what they used to sell tobacco, were that it had disease-fighting qualities. You know, too bad we didn't have an FDA back then. Well, we have one now. We still don't see any, not doing anything about it. Well, immediate claims that they had back then were tobacco kept Indians free of sickness. So let's do what the Indians do. It actually went into print. They heavily promoted cigarettes, tobacco, whatever, as a wonder drug by 1595. So can you imagine tobacco used as a primitive cure for most illnesses? Well, this would make any modern American cigarette manufacturer really envious, right? Well, you know, there's a quote for this unknown author who said, cancer cures smoking. Cancer cures smoking. Think about it. Well, tons of tobacco was shipped from Virginia to London, and the fortunes of the tobacco plantation owners became rich on the addiction of smokers. So what the white man failed to observe, or perhaps didn't really care, is that it was rare for the American Indians to smoke tobacco. They would chew tobacco leaves. They would dip the tobacco leaves in this tree resin. And what it did is it made a type of, you know, ancient chewing gum is what they had, right? So the Indian braves would take two gourds with them when they went hunting. And one gourd contained tobacco leaves, and the other a white powdered resin. So after they chewed the tobacco leaf a little bit, you know, kind of bruised the leaf, got it wet, they would then dip that wet tobacco leaf into the resin and then put it back in their mouth and chew it. So the Indian tobacco chewing gum is what we're calling it, kept the braves alert and gave them endurance while they went hunting. So Wendy Liebren, she says this, people always come up to me and say that my smoking is bothering them. Well, it's killing me. She was a comic, a stand-up comic. Well, let's go north, because fortunately American settlers to the north in the Plymouth and Boston area saw value of a different kind. The European immigrants were more interested in the local plant life, but for medicinal and not commercial reasons. They were more interested in being self-sufficient, self-sustaining, as they, you know, made their way in this new world. The settlers were looking for freedom, not a franchise. So what they did? Well, they took great care to observe the local Indians, and they learned about the medicinal plants that they were using. After all, proof is in the pudding, and the Indians, the Native American Indians, were pretty much the picture of health. The Indians may have lived primitive lives, but they were master herbalists. Now, it was probably a good thing that no European physician or pharmacist would actually leave the affluence of selling their services and drugs overseas to come to an uncertain new world. You know, they would have pilfered the American Indian if they had. So this left the settlers with an option. Learn from the Native Indians and be prepared to self-medicate yourself. Okay, there's this proverb that says, three things drive a man outdoors: smoke, a leaking roof, and a scolding wife. Smoke from a chimney, I would think. Well, we have 317 years or more since the colonists landed at Plymouth and established a medicinal way of survival in America through natural means. So who'd have thought that we'd be kind of back to square one by now, just like the American colonists were? You know, we're having to rely on our wits, what we have on hand, our medicinal plants for health, and that's exactly what we're seeing now, what's happening. We're going back to square one. Despite all the scientific advances in medicine, we are still not as healthy as the Native American Indians 300 years ago. Now, Mark Twain, American humorist and writer, 1835 to 1910, he says this, to see smoking is the easiest thing I ever did. I ought to know because I've done it 1,000 times. Yeah. Well, you know, it's time to get primitive, folks. It is. The Native American Indian set an excellent example for good health, whole grains, nuts, seeds, vegetables, whatever meat they could, you know, hunt. For liquid, it was pretty much spring water, maybe some tea here and there, herb tea. The American Indians had broad shoulders, small waists, straight backs, flat bellies, developed thighs, muscles, strong bodies. They were well fed. They had healthy jaws, straight teeth, no blemishes, no blindness, no crippling among them. And that's a quote from the Dutch in New Amsterdam record of 1624. That's what the Dutch observed when they got over here. You know, so it's like I said, you know, cleanse and nourish the body, use God's good foods and medicinal herbs, and you've got the potential to be as healthy as the Native American Indians of 300 years ago. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and ask for a free product catalog. Their toll-free number, and they'll educate you on organ cleansing and immune boosting with medicinal herbal plants. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and, of course, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. That's right. Okay, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk about sepsis. Yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, having dirty blood, basically, is what that is. Sepsis is really an infection of the blood. It's known as gram-negative bacterias. or gram-positive bacteria. So what kind of infection is it really? Well, sepsis can be caused by bacteria, by viruses, by fungus, by other organisms, by toxins, which tend to build up in the tissues. So the most common is the pathogen called E. coli. Now, inside the bowel, E. coli is not a problem. Outside the bowel, it's a killer. So how do you get it? Well, infection can enter the body through, you know, a wound or an incision. It can produce an accumulation of pus and then spread to a bacterial infection. Sepsis can pollute your body and your organs, causing them to shut down. So is sepsis a serious condition? Yeah, it is life-threatening. And symptoms are fever and low blood pressure. Now, symptoms can mimic meningitis, like inflamed lining of the brain, or even encephalitis, where you have inflammation of the brain. And a simple household accident causing minimal trauma can actually present an opportunity for a serious blood infection like sepsis. It's just like that girl that got that flesh-eating disease that cut her leg on a rip line, and she fell into a body of water. I think it was a river, and she got bacteria in the cut. Then she had a problem. Well, let's talk about risk, because several areas of society are going to be at greater risk of contracting sepsis. As usual, it includes the young and the old. Babies can contract bacterial sepsis during delivery, and nursing homes report more sepsis than any other area. Abuse in nursing homes has increased by 30%, so increasing the chances of sepsis is going to be in the nursing homes. Diabetes are another group at risk. Diabetics are going to be at risk of sepsis. Also, more black than white people tend to contract sepsis. Now, there are over 18 million cases of sepsis per year, 750,000 people in the United States get diagnosed with sepsis. Now, in 2006, a famous Mayo Clinic, they explored the possibility of a rogue cell receptor, which tends to promote inflammation even without bacteria, that could be the cause of sepsis. This challenged 150 years of medical opinion when they brought this up regarding the sepsis issue. But it could explain why the death toll is kind of high with sepsis when massive doses of antibiotics don't even affect it. So the new theory about sepsis in the medical community is that it can occur during bacterial infection, but can also occur when body waste material, which are normally produced by your body, act like bacterial poisons. So actually, the Mayo Clinic described how important it is to keep normal toxins free flowing out of your body to avoid having a toxic system and overloading the system. So you want to envision a garbage dump at maximum capacity. And when you have to, you know, turn a dump trucks full of garbage waste material away, where are they going to go? You know? So where can they go? Well, in this scenario, the garbage dump is your bowel or your urinary tract. And if the dump trucks can't unload there, they are forced to back up into the highway, your blood system. And they're going to be loaded with waste, potential poisons, potential sepsis situation. Now, it really blows my mind that people, they learn simple solutions that can solve very complicated problems. They don't want to trust it, though. They know it works, but they don't want to trust it. Sepsis is scary. It is. And so is cancer and other diseases. But most believe that they have not the ability to deal with these issues or even prevent them on their own. So a majority of cases can be actually turned around using some natural antibiotics, immune-boosting types of products, and tools to detoxify the system. And you know what? God provides all those tools. So there was a man who was actually, he contracted a nasty infection after a catheter treatment at the local hospital. He had pain when he urinated, and after a course of antibiotics, his condition worsened, and he lost a lot of function in his body. The gentleman kind of panicked when he learned that he could use even body parts from this infection. So he was kind of panicked about it. But he was calmed, actually. He got calm when he found out, you know, because the antibiotics weren't working. What the doctors were doing weren't working. But he got really calm when he learned that he can use garlic and juniper berries to help cleanse the urinary tract and even the blood system a bit with some specific herbs to clear out even viruses and fungus. So after he did that, he noticed his pain went away. His prostate, he noticed, was not feeling as swollen, didn't bother him. He returned to sexual function. He was delighted about that. And so, you know, personally, you know, people I know are skittish and afraid because they've been conditioned. They've been conditioned about certain things. But I wouldn't hesitate. Personally, I wouldn't hesitate to use God's good herbs. After all, the pharmaceutical industry, as you know, was built on herbs, right? And then they wanted to make more money, the greedy SOBs that they are. And then they make synthetic versions so they can patent that stuff, right? And they isolate compounds and they change what God made so they can isolate and patent things and charge you a mint. So you got tools. And as this elderly gentleman with the catheter problem found out, using medicinal herbs can solve big problems. So if you want to make sure your herbs are, you know, certified organic, grown to till standards is going to be the highest quality. They haven't been treated with chemicals or fertilizers, and they won't subject your central nervous system to any negative action. So over-processing herbs diminishes their potency, too. So forced extraction methods and distillation and this and that, you know, a lot of companies use all these fancy gadgets and equipment. And, you know, what did the ancients do? They went out and they wild-harvested herbs. They picked them. They dried them. They made teas. They made salves. They made tinctures out of them if they had some alcohol on hand, concentrates. And then they cold pressed everything. No heat, no fancy equipment. And that stuff would rock your world. It was so potent. And so the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they kind of go along that line. Simple is better, less is more, you know, as pure a state as you can get it, as God intended. So if you want something pure, something unadulterated, something that's not overprocessed, that's certified organic, grown to till standards, that's naturally aged, that's cold pressed, that's awesome. Check it out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call toll free and get that free product catalog, 866-229-3663. And of course, sign up for their free online newsletters, HealthQuest and American Survival, and get more free information there, and do yourself a favor and educate yourself, because you're going to need to be educated. Mind the time, it grows short. Okay, we've got a few minutes, so we're going to talk about your profession, your career, and does your job expose you to a lot of toxins? Does it, you know, slow your body down? Does it, you know, lead you to more risk? Well, you know what I say. Cleanse and nourish is the way I approach health issues, challenges, prevention, if you will. Cleanse the toxins out of the body, boost the immune system, don't repollute the system with bad diets, and you got most health problems solved right there. It's awesome. Simple, but it works. Been used for thousands of years, by the way, and it works. Okay, so let's talk about some of your work occupation. The World Health Organization and the National and International Labor Organizations and the Occupational Health and Safety Organizations have identified some common elements at work that can compromise your health. And these elements have been grouped into hazardous categories, mechanical, chemical, physiological, so forth. So they got them in categories. So let's check some of these occupational charts real quick and see where some of you might fall. Let's define some hazards really quick. Biological hazards will be your bacterias, viruses, fungus, mold, blood-borne pathogens and things like tuberculosis, you know, stuff like that. Physical hazards, of course, excessive noise, lighting problems, vibration, radiation, electricity, dirty electricity, temperature, you know, really too hot or too cold, stresses your body, you may be dehydrated, that kind of thing. Then there's the psychological hazards, you know, work-related stress. Maybe there's violence or bullying or sexual harassment on the job. Maybe you're burned out. It's a very stressful job and you're just burned out. Maybe you're exposed to some unhealthy elements like tobacco smoke or, you know, alcohol. Somebody drinking there. Then there's the chemical hazards. Acids, heavy metals, solvents, particulates like asbestos, silica, fumes, reactive chemicals, even fire. You firemen out there, are you exposed to that fire hazard? Then there's the mechanical hazards where you have impact force like, you know, falls, collisions, you know, maybe you're a roofer, you know, you're putting roofs on homes. Maybe you're in a confined space, a cubicle, and this is just really messing with your head. Maybe you have compressed air and gases around your work, other substances like that. Maybe there's the risk of being entangled in heavy equipment, having an accident. There's all kinds of hazards out there. So let's take some of these occupations. Let's say you work in agriculture. You're going to be exposed, obviously, to pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers and sun, which delivers, you know, can deliver contact dermatitis situations, maybe even some toxic skin reactions. The other effects are maybe cardiovascular and neurological problems from these exposures, lung disease, and even skin cancer. Then if maybe you work in animal husbandry, then you're exposed to microorganisms, bacteria, fungi, viruses, infectious diseases like rabies, anthrax, stuff like that. If you work in the automotive mechanical industry, you're exposed on a daily basis to solvents, oils, acids, detergents, gasoline, carbon monoxide. And you may have the risk of chemical burns, cardiovascular and neurological disease based on these high exposure to fumes and things. So, I mean, I could go on. There's construction, of course, there's healthcare industry, manufacturing. You know, we're all exposed to certain toxins. If you're in the military, well, you're exposed to biological agents, vaccinations given to you in the military, trauma, everything. Mining, transportation, same thing. So we're all exposed to things on a daily basis. So that means we got to work even harder than just a generation ago to make sure these toxins don't accumulate in the system. So folks, do your periodic organ cleansing and immune boosting to save yourselves from a lot of trouble. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they're the experts in that. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663 or go to their website, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your health care options just became endless. Gotta go, folks. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.